Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
My name is Daryl Beyer. I own a produce company called Bluebird Mountain Organics based out of Reno, Nevada. And I've got growers in Mexico, California, Oxnard, Ventura, and Fillmore. And I ship organic vegetables all over the country and into Canada.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea for this business?
I've been in the produce business for about 27 years. My grandfather owned a produce company, and I started working there when I was about 18 on the LA produce market downtown, and then worked my way up through the industry. And, I worked for a huge company prior to this. And when COVID happened, I moved to Montana and I was going back and forth to Oxnard, and they didn't really like that too much. They said, no, you have to be in the office. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to leave then. And I left the company and visited some growers in Mexico, and they suggested we start our own. So I've got some amazing partners in Mexico, and we started our own company. And because I'm the importer on record and I do all the sales and I have all the organic certificates and insurance, they feed me produce, and I'm the guy that sells it all. So it kind of happened really, I don't know, unconventionally, but it worked out really well.
For sure. So I guess, like, as of today, what is like a typical day look like for you?
Typically, I get up around 5 a.m. I go over my inventory, balance my inventory. I see what crossed yesterday from Mexico, so I know what's incoming. Generally, I have a forecast of what I'm looking at for the week. That changes all the time because stuff doesn't always cross on time in Mexico, and you know, they get held up at the border. But generally, I go over all my inventory, figure out what I have, what's coming. I'll send out a price list and availability, and then I'll hit my heavy hitters with direct pricing, a little bit better than the organic price sheet that just goes out to everyone, and give them some floor counts, and then make some phone calls and get some POs, and try and empty my cooler every day. But it doesn't always happen that way, but that's the goal. And then usually it's pretty much over by 12, 1 o'clock. But you know, there's all these, every now and then I get these straggler orders, you know, 2, 3 emergency orders. And then, we trade POs and they send trucks to pick it up. If I'm doing something for Sprouts or Whole Foods, generally I have to deliver that to a cross-dock or a DC in Southern California. My cooler is based out of Oxnard, so it makes it really easy to take care of those guys, and those guys are pretty important to me. That's what I do. And then I'm on the phone and a lot of emails. You know, it used to be a lot more on the phone, but as the industry's changed and there's more, you know, systems to get POs with the computer, you know, it's not as good as it used to be as far as direct interaction with people, but that's the way it should be. I mean, it should be more conversations and talking to people, but it doesn't always work that way. So, you know, that's kind of how I started. And I've been doing this for a long time. I've worked for growers, shippers. I've been a broker. I've been a wholesaler. I've been a loader. I've been a receiver. You know, my dad worked for my grandfather too, when we had our own company, and, you know, they started me. I started at the bottom. I drove a forklift. I did deliveries. And in the LA produce market, you go to work at, you know, 2 a.m. and you're off at, you know, 10 in the morning. So I learned a lot doing that. I opened another company previously with my father-in-law about 10 years ago, and that was on the LA produce market. And we had about 10 sales guys. We had 4 trucks, and I learned a lot about people and what they thought of our money. You know, they thought it was more like monopoly money. You know, they didn't really have a grasp of that it was real money. That company we had to close about 10 years ago. And then I worked for a huge shipper for the last, you know, about 8 years. And then when I left there, I've had this company now for about 2 years. And, learning a lot about people the first time I had my own company, and then working for the huge shipper gave me a lot more contacts, a lot more grower contacts. And this time I'm not going anywhere. You know, this one's a good one. And I've got really good partners, growing partners in Mexico and in Oxnard, Ventura area. And, it's going well.
For sure. So I guess, like, for you, right? Like, what's an ideal customer? Is it mostly like grocery stores in California? Like, who do you typically work with?
You know, the retail guys are really hard to get into. You know, it's a lot of contracted business. It took me about a year to get set up with my Sprouts account and my Whole Foods account. And usually I only get shorts. If something gets really tight right now, I'm there with the golden parachute and I fill those orders. And I got to kind of earn my stripes so I can get the, you know, offered the contract business. And then, you know, so that's taken a while. The retail guys are really hard to get into. Some of them operate on systems that cost so much money, you know, like we're talking like 30 grand to set up a system. And, you know, to not be guaranteed POs, that's a tough investment to swallow for not guaranteed business. So it's been, it's a struggle, but I also deal with wholesalers and distributors all over the country. Some of my better accounts are wholesalers in Philadelphia and New York, Denver. I've got some really good customers in Canada. So it's a little bit of everything. Obviously I'd want more retail business, but again, that's a tough one to crack into because everything's so heavily contracted. You know, the first couple of months of this season, you know, the Mexico season's generally from October through June until it gets really too hot. October, November, December were very slow. And I don't know if that's related to inflation or people were just a little more cautious of what they're buying, so they're not throwing stuff away. But once the new year hit, it started getting better. And then, you know, the last 2 weeks ago, there was, you know, an inch of rain in the desert in Arizona. And, you know, they're looking at more rain from Salinas to San Diego all this week. So those create opportunities for me and markets get better and, you know, more friends pop out of the woodwork. But, you know, so the ideal customer, I mean, is one that pays you well, that works with you, you know? So, I mean, from retail to wholesale to distributors, I mean, they're all important. You know what I mean? No one's better than the other, you know, but you got to weed them out because there's a lot of bad ones out there. You know, there's a lot of bad ones.
So in terms of, you know, your customer acquisition, has it been more of just from your experience, like in the industry, or do you go to like trade shows? Like, how have you gotten your current customers?
You know, most of my customers have been my customers for, you know, 15 years. There are a lot of them are my good friends. Getting new ones is difficult. I do go to trade shows. I mean, I'll have a booth at the Organic Produce Summit in Monterey. I think that's in March or July. And then I go to the PMA, which is another big, big show. It's the Produce Marketing Association. They changed the name recently. But other than that, you know, trade shows are important, but I think those two that I mentioned are really important. The rest of them are, you know, a lot of meetings are set up prior to that. And if you don't have a booth, it's really hard to get people to talk to you. But if you do have a booth, you know, you're there, you have a presence, you can show them stuff. You can meet them, and it's highly beneficial to have a booth, but they're also really expensive, you know? So, you got to pick and choose which ones you think are worthwhile. I mean, there was a show last week, it's called the GoPex in Florida. I think it's a good show, but it's only one day. It's a lot of travel for one day to have a booth for one day. And I mean, I don't think the contactability is probably as good as some of the other shows. So there's another one, the Southeast Produce Show, probably another good show. But again, you know, being a small guy and a new company, I've got to pick and choose which ones I want to get booths at. I mean, the Organic Produce Show booth is like 10 grand. The PMA booth is like 15 grand, depending on how big you want it. I mean, you can spend 200,000 on a booth if you really are a big guy, like a Calavo or a Taylor Farms. So you really just got to pick and choose. But then there's also there's a book, it's called the Blue Book. Since its inception, it's now digital. But that book is like the Bible in the produce world. I think a lot of newcomers don't realize its importance, but you know, when I work for my dad, I mean, you open the Blue Book and you go find new customers. So you can put your settings in there for guys that pay in 15 days, the guys that have good money, you know, guys that have good ratings, you can kind of weed them out and then you can dial for dollars. But again, the industry's changed so much. A lot of people don't pick up the phone. So, you know, you have to leave messages, you have to try an email, you got to get creative if you want to try and get some new business, or you have to wait for markets to get crazy and then they'll come to you. So, I mean, it really depends. It's a funny industry, but you know, if you take care of people, they won't leave.
For sure. So it's kind of like that you build these relationships like with people over time, and it's like this level of consistency. And then sometimes, you know, things happen where it's out of your control, but it's a good situation for you. And then somebody comes to you, and the goal is to make that customer kind of a returning customer, right? Like if they try you out one time,
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. And you know, if you can give them something that's super short, that is really expensive, and you don't try and, you know, you don't really try and take advantage of the situation, and you still give them a good price. So like organic onions right now are $40, right? But there's a couple guys that, you know, I might give a really good deal to just so I'm not sticking it to them, because I want to earn that business, and I want to be fair, and I want them to remember that I was fair. So, you know, hopefully I'll get an opportunity at the contract, and, you know, but then again, it's a trust thing, you know, I'm leaving money on the table potentially, hopefully to earn something that will pay itself back later. So it really depends on the situation and how bad you want the business and who it is. And, but again, I think at the end of the day, a lot of it is on trust and, relationship building. I mean, the customers that I have now are pretty good friends of mine, and they trust me, you know, and they know when it's short, I'm going to have it for them, and I'm not going to be that guy that's just going to go try and get the most money for it and cut out my regular guys, you know? So it's trust and dependability, I think, is the mainstay in this world that I work in.
For sure. So, I mean, like, I guess for 2024, right? Like, what are you really focused on to scale this business? Like, are you going to be doing, like, you know, more phone calls or emails or other strategies? Like, what are you really, like, kind of focused on to help you scale?
You know, I think probably the biggest thing is to add more commodities and find more growers. You know, my setup is pretty unique. I mean, there's a lot of guys that do buy and sell. That's not the industry I'm in. I have growers that grow for me, that trust me. And, you know, they ship me product. I sell it for as much as I can. And, you know, the better I do, the more I'll get. But I do have random growers calling me pretty regularly, asking me if I can help them. But sometimes the commodity or the grower isn't good enough. So it really depends. But to scale it up, you know, I think I've got to find some more growers, and I've got to find some more customers at the same time. But finding good customers is hard, because they are so locked in with their current relationships and their regular friends that, you know, you have to wait for a perfect storm to try and get an opportunity. But I think dialing for dollars and looking for new growers and expanding the portfolio of items that I have is probably the best way to scale it up. But you also don't want to get big too fast. So, you know, you can really mess up real fast, too. You know, if you take on too many growers and they're overwhelming you with product and you end up throwing it away, I mean, you're not going to be a hero. You know, you're going to tarnish your reputation. And, you know, that gets around really quick. I mean, this industry is really big, but it's also really small. You know, everyone knows everyone from here to Canada to New York. So it's a unique industry. But, you know, the way to scale it up would be to add more commodities and build the customer base. So, you know, that's the goal. I think the first year we did this, we went a little aggressive. I had a little too much product. And, you know, I thought I'd have more customers that came with me from where I came from. But it took me a little while. This year, we scaled down the production a little bit. You know, I lost a few customers, gained a few new ones. And, you know, the goal is to continue to build the business and get more customers and get more growers and add to the portfolio. You know, I think our first year we did almost 10 million. And I mean, the long-term goal is to maybe be 100 million, you know, but that's going to take some time. You know, that's a big number to hit. And for a little guy like me, that's a tall glass of water, but
that's sure.
That's the number in my head. You know, I mean, I want to be a big guy, and, you know, I don't think I'd ever want to sell my company. I think, I'd like to have it and build it and kind of let it run on its own. But in the meantime, it's, you know, it's my relationships, my growers, and I do everything myself. My wife does the accounting, and, you know, maybe one day if my kids are crazy enough, they'll want to get into it, and I'll have a beautiful thing for them. If it's what they choose to do, you know, if they don't, so be it. You know, to build a legacy company would be very cool.
For sure. So obviously, like you mentioned earlier, talking about technology and these systems, right? So what role does technology play in your business? Maybe even AI, if you're using it like at all?
You know, I think people are really trying to tap into the AI industry. But again, this industry was so much based on relationships and handshakes and conversations. And I mean, you can catch an AI conversation pretty easy. You know, it's especially in this industry, you know, I think this is one of the only ones that, you know, is still kind of like a blue collar thing. You know, it's handshakes, and, you know, there's a lot of foul language in the industry. And, you know, I mean, it's very old school. But I know with the programs and the AI really trying to make a push, I think more of the technology is in at the field level, you know, to help bring down costs. And I know finding people to do the harvesting is getting harder and harder. Like my partner's in Mexico, you know, there's Tesla factories moving out there, and they're losing guys that don't want to do that hard labor to guys that, you know, want to go work at Tesla and don't want to be bending over in a furrow harvesting kale all day. So there's a little bit easier jobs out there. So the technology as far as harvesting, robotic harvest machines and stuff like that is, I think, probably the biggest mover. But again, you have these systems too with the big companies where they generate POs through these systems and you really never talk to them. You know, you send their pricing and you, maybe if you're lucky, you have a contract. So you just wait for the POs to hit your system. And, you know, and you do that until you mess up and you lose POs. But, you know, the AI thing is something I think that it's getting some traction, but you know, again, it's a relationship business and the AI, you can tell a fake friend pretty quick.
For sure. For sure. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
Trust is a, you know, trust and really knowing who you have working for you and with you, is a big deal. It's really hard to find good people in this industry that are, you know, completely 100% trustworthy and that value your money like it was their money. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, it took me opening the first company, you know, 10 years ago to learn that. And it was a really expensive learning lesson, you know, but I learned a lot. So I'm much more cautious now and just got to know who you're working with. And in the beginning, you know, I was probably a little more eager, a little more hungry, a little more young, a little more aggressive. And, you know, I learned from my mistakes. But, you know, you've got a lot of these new kids coming out of, you know, Cal Poly and places like that, that don't really know the industry. They just know computers. And they think they can figure out what the market's going to do by a computer. And you really can't. I mean, you can to an extent, but it's also a lot of, you know, your gut and your feeling and knowing the business and kind of anticipating things. Like, I feel like I'm pretty good at my gut feeling about what things are going to do. You know, I watch the weather occasionally, but other than that, you know, you can really feel when markets are going to change just by talking with your friends. And I think that's a really, really important thing that a lot of these younger people don't have they don't learn. You know, I learned on the market. I drove a forklift. I've done everything you can do. And coming out of a university or a college, you know, you don't have that hands-on experience. You might be really smart when it comes to computers and books, but you know, it's a hard knock experience. And there's a lot of tricks and things that people can do. And if you're not in tune to it and you don't know about it, you know, you can get the wool pulled over you pretty quick.
For sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
In a year from now, you know, I'd like to have maybe a salesperson or two. I'd like to probably expand into the conventional world a little bit just so I can round out, you know, more of a year-round offering, more of a one-stop shop, as they say. You know, that's not one of my favorite terms, but it's a regular term. You know, if you're dealing with these big retail guys, you know, they want to come in and get their 20 pallets of broccoli conventional and they want to add 5 organic. You know, the conventional world is still so much bigger. So I feel like that's something I probably need to add down the line. And I would definitely like to add a couple salespeople. But, you know, I'll be very weary of who I pick after my experiences in the past. So I've got a few friends in mind, you know, when the time's right. But I would definitely like to see at least, you know, double the sales volume, maybe add some new accounts and you know, add some help that can, you know, help me go get new customers and be at those trade shows who have their own friends. And, you know, we can all share friends.
Awesome. And we're rooting for you. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your company website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact with you?
Oh, no, of course. I mean, you can WhatsApp me. I've got, you know, a couple different ways. The easiest way is my direct phone, which is a 775-870-6234. That's a good WhatsApp. I mean, it seems like everyone likes to use WhatsApp. You know, I wasn't a big fan in the beginning, but when I deal with people all over the world, it seems like WhatsApp is like the thing, especially in Mexico and Chile and all these other places. I mean, WhatsApp is like, nobody texts, nobody emails, it's WhatsApp. So that's a good way to get a hold of me. My website is thebuyercompany.com. Which is the parent company. You know, my Bluebird Mountain Organics is the DBA. And then my LinkedIn, you know, I don't know my LinkedIn handle, but you can just find me at Daryl Beyer on LinkedIn. And I'm pretty active on there as well. You know, I post a lot of pictures, lots of market updates. A lot of times the produce news and these other guys call me and ask me to do articles. So I link the articles into there. And, you know, you can learn a lot about what I do and who I am on LinkedIn. So, I mean, those are the three best ways. Yeah, I mean, you've got my links. I don't know if you can post them up, but like, But I mean, So I mean, that's the best way to get a hold of me and see what I do and learn about me and our company. You know, we try to do a pretty good job, and you know, we stick by what we do. You know, if we make a mistake, I'll fix it. And you know, most of our products pretty good most of the time. So it's hopefully, you know, we can double our sales in a year. And you know, if we're talking next year, and you know, I'm going to tell you things are going great, and I'm not going to be sitting in my house. I'll be sitting in an office with two other people, and the phones will be going crazy. You know, so you know, we'll see how it goes.
Sounds great, awesome. Well, Daryl, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. You know, I love doing these things and I love talking to people, and you never know what happens when you talk to people, you know, things work in mysterious ways.
Exactly. Awesome. Thanks again.
All right. Take care. I appreciate it so much.
All right. All right. Bye.
All right. Take care.